There was a father who wrote about the time when his daughter Laurie, just 3 years old at the time, was calling downstairs to her daddy asking for him to come up and help her get undressed, get ready for bed. Well, he was downstairs, she was upstairs, and he really didn't feel like going up the stairs again. And so he hollered up to her room, "You know how to undress yourself." "Yes," she explained, "but sometimes people need people anyway, even if they do know how to do things by themselves." I love that statement. Sometimes people need people anyway. Acts chapter 3. If you will, open your Bibles to Acts chapter 3. I want to try to work our way through this chapter this evening. I'm going to read about someone who needed people, but he got a whole lot more. In fact, this person who needed people was healed of being crippled. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Notice with me. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." Many have written that the hours of prayer for the Jews were the third, the sixth, and the ninth hour, corresponding to 9 a.m., 12 noon, and 3 p.m. So this is at the 3 p.m. time. And Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer at this time. Herod's temple was the place of this miracle that's going to be performed. Let me tell you some things about Herod's temple. The court of Israel, F.F. Bruce writes, was that part of the temple area to which Jewish laymen were admitted. The outer court, which is the larger area outside the temple, inside those extended walls, was the area in which the Gentiles were allowed. So it was called the court of the Gentiles. From the court of the Gentiles, after ascending some steps, a Jew might pass through the barrier which separated the outer court from the inner court. There were notices in Greek and Latin fixed to these barriers warning Gentiles not to enter. And it's apparently of these 9 gates that led through this barrier, one of them was called the gate called Beautiful. And that's the gate at which this man sat. Let's read about him, verse 2. "A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple." Notice some things about this man. Number one, his name is undisclosed. He was just a certain man. He was disabled from birth, in fact, lame from his mother's womb all of his life. And chapter 4, verse 22 tells us that he was over 40 years old at this point. So he had never walked a day in his life. He was dependent. People need people. And here was one, a man who needed people, because he had to be carried to this gate. And they, his friends, family members, we presume, laid him daily at the gate where he could beg for alms or money, which indicates that he was also destitute. "Who, seeing," verse 3, "Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms," or ask for money. Notice here that the beggar is not represented as having any faith in Christ. He's sitting there asking for help, asking for money. And so Peter and John come by him. Notice the miracle in verses 4 through 7. Notice that the helpless one, his expectations were raised. When Peter, fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. So look at us. And he looks up and probably holds out his hand or whatever he was collecting the money in. And he's expecting, his expectations are raised. He's expecting to receive some help. But just as those expectations were raised, I'm sure they're disappointed with the very first words out of Peter's mouth. "Silver and gold have I none." If he'd have stopped there, he'd been very disappointed. But then his expectations were exceeded. As Peter continued, "Silver and gold I do not have, But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse 7. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. As I thought about this, he's over 40 years old. He's never walked in a day in his life. And I thought about some of us have broken a bone before. I remember breaking my arm, I think it was in 7th grade. And Dad took me in my granddad's old pickup truck from Cahoma, Texas to Big Spring, Texas, 10 miles. And I had my arm in an air splint, and I felt like he hit every pothole in the highway between. But I had to have a cast put on, and many of you have experienced that. And I'll never forget, when I finally got that cast off, my arm had shrunk, and the hairs on my arm were black, whereas on my other arm they were white. And I remember I couldn't straighten out my arm. What happened? Without the use, the muscles atrophied, got weaker, and the movement was not as free as it had been. I thought about this man who'd been lame ever since he was born. He had never walked. So what were the muscles in his legs like? I'm sure they were very, very thin, and they were very, very weak. But when this miracle is performed, his feet and ankle bones receive strength, enough strength to where his muscles were able to keep his ankles firm, and he was able to not only walk, but not only stand, but leap. And so he walks and leaps, and he praises God. This man was made perfectly whole. He leaped up rather than arising slowly as getting out of bed after a lengthy illness. He stood and walked, not leaning and trembling, but walked as if he had been walking all of his life. Verse 9, here's the response. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You see, the people, when they saw him, they recognized him. Oh, that's the guy that was at the gate called Beautiful daily and begged alms. We know him. We know he couldn't walk. And they responded. And the text includes words like amazement, wonder, and marvel. Verse 11. And as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. Did you notice this? The man who was healed held on to Peter and John. Why? Why did he hold on to Peter and John? First thought, maybe it was gratitude. Just hugging them, thanking them for this healing that had taken place. He's able to walk and leap, and he's praising God because of it. Or maybe he intends now to follow them. You've done that for me in the name of Jesus. I'm going to follow you now. Or maybe he's holding on to them because he knows of others that he wants to be healed as well. The Scripture is silent. But the Scripture does say that the miracle drew a crowd. And every time a miracle drew a crowd, the apostles took the opportunity to talk about Jesus. And so that's what happens here in verses 12 through 26. So when Peter saw it, verse 12, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? Why are you looking at us like we did this? Like we're the ones with the power, or that we're so godly that we were able to perform this miracle?" It's not us, he's saying. Of course, he's pointing to Jesus. But notice how he points to Jesus, to this audience in Jerusalem, verse 13. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed And you disowned or denied him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned or denied the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author or the prince of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Yes, he's pointing to the power that healed this man. But as he does so, he's reminding them of what they had done to this man. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. I like what one writer said. You saved the destroyer of life, a reference to Barabbas, a murderer. You saved the destroyer of life, and you destroyed or killed the Savior of life. Peter asserted that Jesus was the holy and righteous one. Peter attested to his resurrection. And Peter attributed the cure of the lame man to the name of Jesus. Verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Peter's pointing out to them, this deed that was done, this miracle, is indisputable. You know this man. You've seen him. You know him. This deed was public. It was in the presence of you all. This wasn't done in a corner. You see the before and the after before your very eyes. But this deed was also done through faith in the name of Jesus. Whose faith? It wasn't the faith of the lame man. It appears to me to be the faith of the apostles, the faith in the name of Jesus that was able to heal this crippled man. Peter acknowledged that ignorance was behind their actions, verse 17. Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as also did your rulers. But Peter is also saying this is fulfilling prophecy, verse 18. Those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. So all these things that you did was prophesied by the prophets of old and has now come to fruition. Peter told them then what they must believe. Look with me to verse 22 of Acts 3. Let me read to the end of his sermon. Verse 22 beginning. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall come to pass that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. That's a quotation from Deuteronomy 18. And Peter's saying, that prophet that Moses foretold, that prophet is Jesus. He you shall listen to. Listen to him, and if not, you shall be destroyed. Verse 24, yes, and all the prophets from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. Verse 25, you are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying to Abraham, and in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That was fulfilled in Jesus, the seed of woman. Verse 26, to you first, to the Jews first, God having raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you. How? In turning away every one of you from your iniquities. So yes, the miracle gained a crowd. And Peter took the opportunity to preach about the power that healed this man, but also about how this same man died for their sins. He told them what they must believe, and he told them what they must do. Verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repent and turn to God, or be converted. Repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. He's saying change your mind about sin. Realize it for what it is, and then turn to God or be converted. And he told them what they would receive. As you see there, verse 19, the blotting out of sins. Sin will blot our names from the book of life, Exodus 32, 32. But repentance and the blood of Jesus will blot out sin from the book of remembrance. Repent and turn to God or be converted, and your sins will be blotted out. So he took the opportunity, as he always did, to preach the good news about Jesus. Let's make it personal. Let's make some applications to take home with us. Think first of all about that helpless one, the man who was lame from his mother's womb. And remember, there are others who need our help. I listed several of them before you. We could add to this list: shut-ins, children, the sick, discouraged, non-Christians, the grieving, new Christians, the hardworking. On and on we could go. As you think about the helpless one, think about those who need our help. Because, number two, you and I need to be the helping ones. You and I need to be the helping ones. And two characteristics of the helping ones are these. Number one, seeing through the eyes of compassion. Peter and John, when they went by this man who was begging for alms, they said, "Look at us." I kind of read into that as I think about that situation, how many times had that man sat at that gate and asked how many people as they passed? Who knows? Do you think it got to the point where he just kind of held up his hand without making eye contact? But Peter and John, they stop and they say, "Look at us." And as that lame man looked up at Peter and John, what do you think they saw? I think they saw eyes of compassion. What do people see when they look at us? May they see caring people with eyes of compassion. We need to be the helping ones, seeing through the eyes of compassion and helping in ways that we can. Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." There's a legendary story told of Thomas Aquinas and Pope Innocent II. Aquinas surprised the Pope one day and came in on him while he was counting great stacks of silver and gold. And the Pope said to him, "Brother, you see that Peter can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" And Aquinas reportedly replied, "Quite true. And neither can he say to the lame man, 'Rise and walk.'" We can't say, "Rise and walk." We can't give others what Peter and John gave to this man, a miracle by the power of Jesus. What can we do? Let me suggest a few things. What can we do? We can give our time to be involved. We can give our time to be involved. Luke chapter 10, parable of the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite, they passed by on the other side. They didn't take the time. They didn't want to get involved. But we, what can we do? We can give our time and be involved. And secondly, offer our hands to help. Not only did that Samaritan get involved, he got his hands dirty as he ministered to that man who had need. We can do the same thing. There are some things we cannot do, but we can give our hands to help. We can give our shoulders upon which others can lean. We can rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. To borrow the words from a song, we all need somebody to lean on. We can give our shoulders upon which others can lean. We can give our backs to help bear burdens. Sometimes they're physical, sometimes they're emotional, even spiritual burdens. But we can bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We can give our hearts to care, to understand, and to sympathize. 1 Peter 1:22 says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently or deeply with a pure heart." Just letting someone know that you care can make a world of difference. We can give our ears to listen. There was a group of troubled youths who were interviewed. This is in a study done in San Francisco. They were asked, "Is there anything you needed most and couldn't get?" Their response, invariably preceded by sadness and tears, was unanimous. "What I needed most was someone to listen to me. Someone who cared enough to listen to me." So then, my beloved brethren, be quick to listen, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We can give our ears to listen. We can give our mouths to speak a kind word. I read about a man who was fired from his job because of an indiscretion at work. And to make ends meet for his home and family, he took a job at a construction site. Well, he had never worked construction before and didn't really know what he was doing. And his co-workers made fun of him. He was the brunt of a lot of the jokes, and he was just in misery. And finally, he had all that he could take and decided that he was going to finish out that morning and then leave, just quit at lunchtime. Well, shortly before noon, the foreman came around with paychecks. And as he handed the man his envelope, he made his first civil comment to him that he'd ever made while he'd been working there. He said, "Hey, there's a woman working in the front office who knows you. She says she takes care of your kids sometimes." And the man responded, well, who is that? What's her name?" And when he named her name, he instantly recognized that she was one who watched his children at church in the nursery on occasion. And when he opened up his paycheck, the envelope with his paycheck, there was his paycheck along with a handwritten note from this very lady that read, "When one part of the body of Christ suffers, we all suffer with it." It's a reference from 1 Corinthians 12:26. Then she wrote, "Just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you these days." He stared at the note, astonished at God's timing. He hadn't even known the woman that she had worked for this company, but here, at a very low time in his life, she had given him the courage to go on, to push through another day. Heaviness in the heart of a man, Proverbs 12:25, maketh it stoop, King James Version. New King James states it, anxiety in the heart of a man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. We can give our mouths to speak kind words. No, we can't say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk," and perform a miracle like the apostles did. But we can say, "Silver and gold I may not have, but what I do have, I give you." And we can help in many ways, and in so doing, lead them to Jesus. Let me sum it up with three lines. People need Jesus. Let me back up. People need people. People need Jesus even more. Let's give them both. Let's give them both. Tonight, if you're subject to the imitation of Jesus Christ, if it's your desire to repent and be converted, to be baptized into Christ, so that your sins can be blotted out, we hope and pray that you'll do that even this evening. If you need the prayers of the church tonight, we'll be happy, and we'd love to pray with you and for you. If you need to come, please do so right now as we stand and sing.